Agriculture Today continues now, and yet more of the information that will be passed along to those attending the upcoming Risk and Profit Conference that K-State Agricultural Economics again will be hosting this next week, Thursday and Friday to be exact, the 17th and 18th of August. And our guest now will be talking with the audience about decision-making when it comes to replacing farm equipment and some of the things that go into those replacement strategies. Greg Ibendahl is back with us. He is a farm management economist with K-State Research and Extension. The costs of replacing implements and other equipment, well, they can be substantial and, of course, can be a big economic consideration, Greg.
Yeah, when you look at things, I mean, after land cost is probably the biggest cost to most producers, but after that, machinery has become the biggest issue for most producers. And, you know, trying to find ways, and really there's probably two issues going on. You know, one is, you know, what does that do to profitability? But probably the biggest issue right now is, you know, what does that do to cash flow? Because you have depreciation, which is a non-cash cost. So that can affect things quite a bit. So you can actually have something show up as an expense through depreciation where really it doesn't affect your cash flow. So really producers kind of need to look at both those angles when they're looking at the whole machinery side of things.
It's not just a matter of machinery or equipment wearing out. It is actually when it becomes economically disadvantageous to hold on to machinery, right?
Yeah, I mean, really, I guess in a perfect world, and we were just strictly looking at profitability, we would say, you know, you would hold your equipment basically until the cost of holding that equipment one more year is higher than the cost of purchasing something new. And that tends to happen because as you hold equipment, it requires more and more repair costs every year, and we tend to look at that as a, you know, an upward sloping type curve thing. And eventually you reach a point where, you know, it's just so much in repairs and maintenance every year and through improvements in the newer equipment that you're really better off getting a new piece of equipment. And that, you know, that'll show up somewhere when you look at the lifespan of a piece of equipment.
Let's wander a bit into some of that, which you'll be presenting at Risk and Profit. And one of the things you will be examining in your presentation, you say, what criteria producers tend to use when they go about machinery decisions?
Well, I don't think really producers really look at, they don't really look at necessarily from the profitability side. I think they're looking at more from the cash flow side. And really, it kind of goes back to what, you know, what farmers hate the most of anything, and that's really paying taxes. And, we always say producers are profit maximizers out there, but I think there's some producers out there who really, their goal is not to pay any taxes. So, and you can kind of really do that by the level of equipment that you hold. So what producers have really done, when we saw these good years for grain farmers from like 2007 to 2012, where grain prices were really high and net farm income was pretty high, a lot of producers end up buying equipment just to kind of get their tax burden down. And I'm not going to say that's a bad or good strategy, but it is certainly a strategy that most producers actually tend to practice quite a bit here, not only here in Kansas, but really across the U.S.
So it's really more than just purchasing in good years, not so in bad years. It's much more involved.
Well, it can be, but that's the way a lot of producers think about it. And again, there's nothing wrong with doing it that way. So if you look at the current level of machinery on most grain farms here in the state, it's probably at a pretty high level yet because most producers tend to stock up and they replace a lot of their equipment. And really, if you look at our KFMA database, you'll see that most producers now have, when you look at like a crop machinery on a per acre basis, most producers probably have at a higher level of machinery per acre than they probably ever have before. And really, you know, that's not a cost neutral decision to do that. There is a cost to buying equipment. Certainly, that's the upfront cost. But once you actually own the equipment, there's some costs there too. So every year you're going to have depreciation. And really, you need to think of depreciation as really a combination of both the age of the equipment and how much you use it. So the fact that you may not be using it all that much is still going to go down in value just because it's sitting in your shed and then kind of the technology is changing and it needs to be run some point there. So there's depreciation just from having it stored. But producers also need to remember too that there is a cost to actually holding onto that equipment. So, you know, basically all that money you have invested in machinery, you could actually be investing that money in some other asset. You know, certainly a savings account not going to pay a whole lot, but you know, if you had it in a stock market fund or something like that. So all that money you have tied up in equipment is basically, it's almost like burying in the ground. It's not earning you any interest out there, whereas if you had it somewhere else, it could at least be earning you some money somewhere else. So that's a cost producers need to think about. It doesn't show up in your taxes, but it is something farmers need to think about.
Using net farm income, for instance, which we talk about with Kansas Farm Management Association data, you'd like producers to think beyond just using that year-by-year figure as their trigger mechanism, if you will?
Well, I think, again, farmers are really looking at the idea as far as net farm income. What would be the ideal situation would be if you actually had kind of the same level of net farm income year in and year out, that would really kind of help in the tax situation. So producers are buying equipment during these good years to get their tax burden down, where normally they would have some really high tax liabilities. And by contrast, when years aren't so good, like we've had the past couple of years, you tend not to buy anything, or maybe very little, and that will help on the cash flow, and it will actually help increase, maybe not necessarily your net farm income so much, but well, certainly on the cash side, because you don't really have that expense going out for equipment than you would have in some years. So that helps to even things out. It helps with the overall tax liability that way.
Now, some lenders may look at the sheer numbers, such as net farm income, and use that as a baseline for their decisions on providing the financial resources to buy equipment. What do producers do in that circumstance when low income numbers are making that lender a bit reluctant?
Well, it kind of goes back in the strategy really farmers are kind of following now. So in good years, you kind of stock up on the equipment, and you can really almost think of that equipment as having money in the bank. So you basically build up this bank of equipment, and now that we're in some lean years as far as net farm income is concerned, we're kind of drawing back from that bank of equipment. And like I said earlier, we stocked up on equipment during that 2007 to 2012 period. So now I would expect most producers are drawing that account of the machinery back down. So the fact that the lenders says you really can't buy an equipment this year, that really shouldn't be probably too big a deal for most producers, because most producers are in pretty good shape as far as equipment-wise is concerned.
So is that representative of the kind of strategies that you'll be talking up at Risk and Profit?
Well, you probably need to think about it. Really, there's several things producers can go about when they're looking at how they replace machinery. So one strategy would be to replace everything when it reaches its maximum lifespan, when it wears out, and then you buy the next piece of equipment. Now, that doesn't always work good for the cash flow things, because sometimes if you follow that strategy, you're going to have something wear out during a period of lean net farm income, and you don't have the cash to do it that way. That would be the optimal as far as maximizing profitability. Another strategy, if you really want to kind of look at kind of evening out your profitability, might be to look at replacing a certain percent of your equipment every year. So maybe replace like 10% of your equipment every year, and that way you kind of have the same amount going out every year. You know, the strategy I said most producers are farming, I think it's probably really the best strategy as far as when it comes to maximizing your amount of cash that you have, is you stock up on equipment during the good years, you buy more than you normally would, and then in lean years, you buy less. That tends to be probably the best as far as the cash flow situation is concerned. And finally, there is a strategy, too, that I think some producers probably practice as well, and that is basically to keep your equipment forever, basically until it falls apart. And that strategy will work as long as you have some kind of backup equipment on hand. Certainly, you run the risk if you keep equipment very long, you're going to maybe have some breakdown during some critical times. So producers who have maybe a little bit of extra equipment, you know, basically keeping it until it falls apart is also a viable strategy.
Now, that latter example, one could look at leasing or renting equipment temporarily if that were necessary.
Yeah, and certainly producers don't need to get in the mindset of buying everything. There's other ways in controlling farm assets, and certainly your equipment dealer will work with you in a lot of those. So you can certainly rent. You can have a custom operator come in. You can have your neighbor come in and do something. So there are other strategies out there available that producers can look at, especially when times are tough and you really need the cash. You know, it makes more sense to look at some of these other strategies. You know, my rule of thumb is the more often you use a piece of equipment, the more likely you are to buy it. The more specialized that equipment comes, the more likely you are to have a custom operator or actually rent to control that asset.
Well, again, this requires of a producer to remain nimble in their decision making, does it not? And pardon the expression, go with the flow.
Yeah, you know, certainly look at all the options out there. You know, think about things maybe you haven't done before. You know, a lot of producers, I think, get in the mindset, well, I've always bought this equipment, I need to keep buying in the future. You know, that may not be the case. And then certainly look at, you know, maybe you have a certain equipment dealer that you like to deal with. We'll certainly shop around and see what the other equipment dealers have. That may or may not work depending on what area you're in. But yeah, there's certainly a lot of strategies out there. It pays to invest in all these. There may even be a chance that you can maybe trade equipment with your neighbor if you don't have equipment that you don't think you're going to use all that much, and maybe you and your neighbor could split something like that. So there's really all kinds of options. You just need to kind of, you know, think about things you haven't tried before.
And in that, you're welcoming producers who attend Risk and Profit to bring their questions about procuring farm equipment to you, and you'll discuss tangibles with them at Risk and Profit.
Yeah, like I said, I think during these periods of low profitability, I think you're making sure you have enough cash to live on is going to be critical for the next couple of years. So, you know, I think a lot of the strategies are going to revolve around, you know, trying to maximize your cash flow.
Very well. Greg, looking forward to hearing what you have to say at Risk and Profit on this subject in addition to what we've shared today. Thanks for coming over. We appreciate your time.
All right, thanks.
He's a farm management economist with K-State Research and Extension, is Greg Ibendahl. Again, his breakout session is entitled Replacing Farm Equipment, and you can sign up for that, several other of the breakout sessions, and take in much more at the 2017 Risk and Profit Conference here at K-State. And it is knocking on the door. It is next Thursday and Friday, the 17th and 18th of August. The location is the Alumni Center on the K-State campus. And you've still time to register by going to agmanager.info and find out all the details, including the registration procedure, right there at agmanager.info. Hoping to see you here in Manhattan for the Risk and Profit Conference here at K-State. You're listening to Agriculture Today, and we'll stand aside now for these next few moments and then return with more here on the K-State Radio Network.